Isaiah, well-known passage for Christmas, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, and in the future will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke and the burdens of them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for the burning and will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, that from that time on and forever the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Amen. Carol, can you come up here for a minute, please? Now, you were brought up on a sheep farm, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, yes. That counts. Yeah.
It does count, because you've got sheep.
Well, it's nice when it's weather's nice, and it's not when it's not.
And what about the sheep? Are they all woolly and lovely and fluffy and gorgeous?
Well, they are when they're born, and when they're little, but when they get bigger, not so much.
What's wrong with them?
They're very headstrong, shall I say, and they like to wander, and they like to jump over walls.
Right.
And get out, yeah. And if there's a gate left open, they're off. And then you've got to go and find them.
And when they're born, it's all straightforward and easy, isn't it?
Yes and no.
What about the no?
So if mothers reject them, then you have to, have to work a little bit harder. Or if they're born three lambs when they should only have two, then you have to take one away because the mother can't cope three. That kind of thing. But generally, things go to plan as Mother Nature. Then, as God planned it, then it's all right.
And are they clean animals?
Not so bad if they're out and about. They can hardy the weather. They can be out in all storms. They can be they're fairly clean. They're not like pigs. They're all right. Not too bad.
Thank you, Carol. We're looking in a sermon in a little while about the unlikely invitation that came to the shepherds and the picture we might have of shepherds and the picture of what shepherds were really like in the New Testament. So we're looking forward to learning a little bit more about the shepherds as they came and were called upon to be the witnesses to Jesus' birth.
The reading is from Luke 2. Starting at verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Excuse me. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared, with the angels praising God and saying, "Glory be to God in the highest. On earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been said about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Last night, Ruth and I went to see the Leeds musical choir, which Dawn and Robin are in, and also Kath, who isn't able to make it this morning. And it's very unlikely that I will ever be involved in the choir. I can't hold a note in a bucket, and it would be very unlikely, equally unlikely, I'll ever get invited to meet with the king or to have supper with him or anything like that. There are many unlikely things in this world. And the birth of Jesus is also about unlikely things. The unlikely invitation of a teenage girl to be a mother of the Saviour of the world. The unlikely invitation of a group of magi to come and worship the newborn king. And perhaps the most unlikely of all is the invitation as a group of shepherds looking after their sheep on the hills, visited by a host of angels. They're invited to be the first to go and see the Saviour wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Each of these unlikely invitations transformed the lives of those involved. And Mary's purposes are transformed. The Magi's worship is transformed. And the shepherd's priorities were transformed. I want to see this morning a bit about the shepherds. I like the shepherds because they are an unlikely people. They're not the most obvious of choices for the first worshippers of Jesus. And I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of the word shepherd, which is why I asked Carol. I didn't ask her beforehand, but that's why I asked Carol to come up and talk to me about what pictures we have of shepherds. Perhaps we have an angelic picture of a man holding a lamb, or someone sitting on a hillside with a crook in his hand surrounded by a flock of sheep, or maybe a man or a woman lying asleep on a tree, under a tree, with his head resting on a dozing sheep. Have you ever got up close to a sheep? Have you ever seen a shepherd up close? These images are all fantasy. And shepherds in particular in Judea at the time of Jesus' birth had low social standing, even though the Israelites were a nation of shepherds. Many key characters in Israel's history were shepherds. Jacob, Abraham, Jacob's sons, even Moses and David were shepherds. And given shepherds low social status, that makes them all the more unlikely candidates for an invitation to join the unique world-changing mission. When the 12 tribes of Israel migrated to Egypt, they met the lifestyle that was foreign to them. The Egyptians were crop growers. And as crop farmers, they distrusted shepherding because out-of-control sheep and goats spelt death to the crops. They were not popular. An enmity between the crops and the farmers, crop farmers and the shepherds, were as old and as fierce. In fact, we know that the first murder in history, as recorded in Genesis, was when Cain, a farmer who grew crops, murdered his brother Abel, a shepherd. So it was that the Egyptians and the Israelites clashed as the crop farming Egyptians looked down on the shepherding Israelites. Then when the Israelites reached the promised land and settled, shepherding ceased to hold a prominent position in their community. And the Israelites acquired more farmland, grazing animals decreased, and people focused on growing crops. Shepherding became a menial job for the lower classes. They were considered second class and untrustworthy. It is said, or it was said, to buy milk or wool from a goat or a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption it would be stolen property. Shepherds were deprived of all civil rights. They could not fulfil judicial offices or be admitted into court as witnesses. Shepherding as a job had become socially unacceptable. The Mishnah, which is Judaism's written record of the oral law, also reflects this prejudice, referring to shepherds in belittling terms. I'm sorry about this, Carol. I really am. One passage describes them as being incompetent. Another says, no one should ever feel obliged to rescue a shepherd who has fallen into a pit. But God chose them. God chose them. Shepherds were officially labelled as sinners, a technical term for a class of despised people. Jews had several things that they were prohibited from making contact with, like dead creatures or blood. And if someone touched those things, there were several cleaning rotors and cleaning methods for getting clean again so they could worship in the temple. But for the shepherds, it was never possible for them to be clean. It was impossible. Because of their unclean conditions, they were not allowed to worship in the temple. It was God's dwelling place on earth, and you couldn't get there and you couldn't meet with God. Shepherds couldn't join in with the worship in the temple. They were not invited. Talk about an unlikely invitation. Who would you choose if you were going to proclaim the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, has come to earth? The Bible wants us to know that God chooses the unlikely, like you and I, those who are different, those who don't fit in, maybe, those who are unusual. Today we live in a time of culture wars, immigration issues, tribalism, cancel culture, and these cultural patterns are influencing how we relate to one another. It's time to realise that all are invited to worship the Saviour, the immigrant, the homeless, the rejected, the odd, the difficult, the unusual. God chooses us to be his worshippers. And then there's an unlikely invitation for these shepherds. Seen as sinners and excluded from the temple worship, so God sends worship to them. Notice that when God reaches out to people, it's him that comes to us, not us to him. We're not able to reach him with our own righteousness, with our own good doings. Instead, God comes down to us at Christmas time. And it's in this we get a sign of what's to come in Jesus' coming down to earth. Jesus will travel to down-to-earth places where sinners lived and give them this unlikely invitation. He will go to the lost and the lonely, the leper, the prostitute, the tax collector, as well as the lonely shepherd. Verse 9 says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory shone around them, and they were terrified. No wonder, is it? Amazing. In the middle of the dark night, cold night probably, although they were out in the field, so it was probably March. Don't get the idea that Jesus was born at Christmas time. He wasn't. He was more likely to be born at March time, because the shepherds were out with the sheep in the fields. But still, it was jet black, and it would have been cold. And suddenly, an army of angels appears in the sky. I'd be terrified too. Up to this point, the usual place for God's glory, and in the Old Testament it has a special word, it's the Shekinah glory of God, Shekinah. In the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory of God was considered to be in the temple. And the 2 Chronicles 7, it says, Solomon dedicated the temple, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. But now, here on this Bethlehem hillside, we discover God's temple is where people are. He's not restricted to the walls of a building. When in the church we think about invitation, we often think about inviting people to come to church. And at Christmas time, we have these particular opportunities to invite people to come to church, to the carols by candlelight. But God comes to us, not us to God. It's also inviting the Christian community so that you can find them anywhere in the world. God's glory has been seen on earth and the temple since it's been built. God's glory, his Shekinah glory, was in the holiest of holies, the innermost part of the temple where only the priests could go one day a year. And yet here in these fields, God chose to reveal his glory to those who refused to the temple point blank. The glory of the Lord shone around them, verse 9, and they received this unlikely invitation, go and find the Saviour of the world. God will meet with anyone, anywhere, who reaches out to him. We're not to believe that God is only for the Christians. God is for the whole world. Jesus is for the whole world. He came into the world to save the world. God effectively says, so the world says you're not worthy to come to me, then I will come to you. And I wonder if this morning you're feeling a little bit like that yourself, thinking to yourself, I'm unworthy, I'm unlikely, I'm not good enough. And God says, I come to you, you don't have to come to me. And an unlikely invitation can transform an ordinary life. What were the shepherds like at the beginning of the encounter? In verse 8 we read the shepherds were spending their night in the fields looking after their flocks. You don't hear anything in the beginning of the story about them glorifying God. So we're not being invited to think of the shepherds out in these fields every night saying, oh, isn't it wonderful to be out here? There is a huge, glorious God, and look, the universe has been created by him. All those stars up there show how massive and great he is. It's very possible these shepherds didn't think about things like that. They had their minds on their work. They would think about how to keep the wolves away from the sheep. But now look at them, after meeting the angels and finding the baby, just as the angel had told them, they're thinking, who can we tell about this? Who can we tell about what God has done, what God is doing? Their priorities were transformed. And that's what happens to us. When we become Christians, when we find Saviour, when we are saved ourselves, our priorities are transformed. We no longer seek the things of the world, but we seek what God wants. And he wants us to tell others about Jesus. The encouragement is that our God can step right into our workplaces and our everyday places, that we're all invited. The challenge to accept that the invitation with priority and urgency to speak and act in a way that invites others to worship our down-to-earth God. An invitation to be transformed. May God shine the glory on your life, and may you who think that maybe you're not welcome, may you come to see that this unlikely invitation is for you too. And then may we all go and share that same invitation with others. Let's pray. The shepherds were the unlikely people of the world, and we're the unlikely people of the world too. We thank you, Father, that you have stooped down to us when we couldn't reach you. That you sent Jesus down from heaven to earth to be born in a humble situation, to be worshipped by shepherds who were rejected by everybody else. And Lord, we thank you for this story because it reminds us that we too can be loved by you. Lord, give us today a new sense of that love that is stoop down to us that we might raise up to you in worship and praise in our everyday lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.